Well, be grateful if you'd pray for me. Pray for the word of the Lord this morning. I'd like to share with you a thought and burden the Lord's been talking to me about for a little while. Being not entangled. 2 Timothy, the second chapter. Begin reading here in 2 Timothy 2 and verse 1. Thou therefore, my son, be strong in the grace that is in Christ Jesus. And the things that thou hast heard of me among many witnesses, the same commit thou to faithful men who shall be able to teach others also. Thou therefore endure hardness as a good soldier of Jesus Christ. Paul was addressing here a younger brother in the faith in the Lord, knowing that, as you'll read here in the second epistle to Timothy, that Paul knew his time was drawing to a close, that he was ready to be offered. His time of departure was at hand. He realized and knew that, and yet he thought not only of himself, but also of the work of God that was to continue and to go forward. And Timothy, if you want to be part of this, if you want to be successful, you're going to have to be a good soldier of Jesus Christ. You're going to have to be willing to endure some hardness as a good soldier of Jesus Christ. You know, the Lord has a purpose for every one of us. We need not go through life aimlessly or without purpose or direction or any sense of purpose in my life. The Lord has called me to take a side. He's called me and commissioned me to do something. He's called us to be a good soldier of Jesus Christ. And there's an element of being a good soldier that he next addresses. When he says, no man that warreth entangleth himself with the affairs of this life, that he may please him who hath chosen him to be a soldier. If we're going to fight in the army of the Lord, this is a volunteer army. The Lord calls, but he doesn't involuntarily conscript people into his service. Only those that answer the call and say, yes, Lord, I'm not going to be out of this battle or warfare one way or the other. But if I want to be on the winning side, I'm going to have to fight. I'm going to have to take sides. I'm going to have to delineate by my choices. Lord, I choose and I purpose to be a soldier. Not only do I want to be a soldier, but I want to know how to be good at it, be effective at it, to be a good soldier of Jesus Christ. If any of you have had occasion to work with, say a younger generation, Gen X, Z, millennials, whatever label that people sometimes put by generation, it's a little different than it was in prior generations, and not to just rag on one. But for example, there was a time when it was thought a noble thing for you to go and start working for an employer, and you give your service throughout your entire career to that employer. That's much less common today. Also, if you ever seen somebody on the job or supposed to be on the job, and you hear a beep on their phone, and suddenly they're pulled away from what they're doing and they're checking their phone. And then they're typing something on the phone, and then a few seconds later, another beep, and oh, got to stop what I'm doing here for just a moment. I got to see what this message is. Distraction. You know, if we want to be a good employee, there are things that we have to do to limit distraction and to be able to focus on the job at hand and what I'm doing. It's a dilemma, really, to a lot of employers today, and it's a dilemma to school teachers today, that they're grappling with, what do we do with devices? How do we handle this? What do we do with a young child that comes into class and they have one of these devices that can be a benefit, but can also be such a distraction whenever it buzzes and vibrates and a notification pops up and you find a child that should be focused on what the teacher's trying to impart, instead being distracted, continually drawn back to what it is that's calling for my attention here on this device? We hear the phrase, the word multitasking. You ever feel like you have to multitask? Well, in some ways we often do in life. But in some ways it's a misnomer. Some people are better at dividing their attention. But can you focus on something that's happening over here and something that's happening over here at the same time? You might be able to look straight ahead and see through your periphery what's going on and have some awareness of it. But whenever I say I want you to focus on what's over here, can you also focus on what's over there? Multitasking, or those that do it maybe most effectively, I think tend to be people who can just more easily switch between one or the other. But it's hard for a student, child that's supposed to be learning, whenever that summons to something else calls every few seconds. Well, that's perhaps a modern day example, but I want you to imagine somebody who's been sent to battle. They volunteered their service and they've been summoned and sent to the battlefront. And they've got such a device in their pocket. And as the bullets are flying, as the door needs to be breached or whatever, oh, hold on a minute. I got a message here. I need to see what this is. Hold on a minute. I'm at an important point in this chess game. My buddy just moved and it's now my move. Hold on a minute. Stop your firing. Give me just a second. I got to focus on this for a little bit. Well, it might seem a ridiculous example. Do you realize that there's a place for someone who is called and commissioned to focus on what you're doing? Don't allow yourself to be distracted or pulled away, or as this says, entangled with the affairs of this life. That which would hinder me from being effective at what I'm called to do, by whatever means it is. I use an easy example. It's relevant to today's technological age. But a soldier that's given himself to the service of his country is most often called to leave behind your family, the affairs of the farm at home, your workplace and your job, and or even legal protections for employees in our country who are given to military service, that you leave all that behind. It's not that it's not important. It's not that you shouldn't care about it. But there's something here that demands your focus, your attention, you giving yourself wholeheartedly to it. If you're going to be effective, if you're not going to feel divided and pulled in two different directions, you're going to have to know how and be willing to put some separation between those things and your purpose. Do not allow anything to divide your attention, your allegiance. This word entangled means intertwined, interwoven, or to involve oneself within. Today, have you enlisted in the army of the Lord. Sing a song that says, I've done that till I die. Paul is not addressing to Timothy about literal, of course, warfare and military service. But he was trying to use that as an example of you've been called for a purpose. Think of the song also, you've been called out for a purpose. You've been called out. The Lord's called us to something spiritually. He's called us out of this world, and He's called us on a heavenly mission to make heaven our home. And there will forever be those things that call and demand our attention and our allegiance. You remember Christian who started out on his journey, and it wasn't very long. They were calling after him. What was it that he did? He plugged his ears and he kept going, crying out, life, life, eternal life. I can't allow myself to be pulled back or distracted or to have second thoughts. And if we're determined that we're going to serve the Lord, we've got to serve Him with our whole heart. We can't entertain second thoughts. We can't entertain these elements of the world that would try to intertwine themselves in my life, into my affections and desires, that would so try to interweave themselves into my thoughts that it hinders me from this journey that I'm on. Well, I remember we had a plumbing issue in our home, and the plumbing wouldn't drain. It was a home that had a basement and it had drainage outside in the stairwell that collected rainwater. And whenever this drain would become plugged up, it would back up the sewer system that also drained through the same drain, and it would begin rising in our basement. Not a pleasant experience or a fun thing to deal with. But I remember I hired, believed I did it myself a time or two. It would happen regularly or on regular intervals that we'd have to do this. Run what they call a snake down into the main line. And it would go down and 75 feet, 100 feet, it would run through the line. And then you pull it out, and the little auger or teeth that's on the front of it would pull this huge clog of roots. We had a number of trees that were surrounding our property, and there were little bitty roots that were so tiny, very easily could just be pulled. They were almost like threads. And they would seek out moisture, and they would penetrate through the line, and it began to grow and grow, and others would grow, and they'd begin to interweave themselves until the whole thing was clogged up. You know, the cares of life can do that to us if we're not careful. Small, thread-like thoughts and cares and distractions that seek a home in my affections and in my mind. That little by little in living life, they can begin to take over. They can begin to interweave and entangle themselves in my life so much that it begins to choke out the Word. What are some of those things that could entangle our life? Well, I'm not interested and burdened so much to try to deal with a bunch of specifics. But that which could divide our allegiance. The Scripture warns us, love not the world, neither the things that are in the world. How do you do that? How do we practically live in this world and not love this world? How do we live in this world and appreciate? Now, I'm not talking about the appreciate the sin things of the sinful world. But how do I live in this world and appreciate what God gives me in life? Appreciate the temporal blessings that God gives me. Should we? Should we consider it a curse and chafe and grumble at it when I get a raise at work? When the Lord blesses me to have a home, should I? Oh, I just wish I didn't even have this whole thing. And I have a car to be able to drive? Am I to despise those things? Well, Lord, how do I live this life and appreciate the blessings that you give me in life and yet not allow myself to become so entwined with it that it ends up holding me in bondage? And I believe that that is a challenge of our time. We've been reading about and studying in Sunday school persecution of the early church. Brother Rick mentioned this morning how that it really backfired on the opposers of Christianity. They intended it to be able to stamp out and destroy this faith, and instead it just caused it to flame up all the more. That's not what we're facing in our country in 2026. Not in the same way. But I'm going to tell you the things that we're facing in our country are no less dangerous to our faith than that is. If persecution is the fuel of the growth of faith, if it's what fans the flames, then what would you call prosperity? What would you call an economy that's flourishing and things that are going well and lack of persecution? What effect might it have on our faith? On our zeal? On our fervency for the Lord? Lord, how do I, and this has been my prayer, Lord, how do I know how to live this life? How to be in this world and not be of it. I believe Paul said to the Corinthians in another place, maybe it's the 7th chapter, those that use this world as not abusing it. You think there could be a fine line there sometimes? I believe it requires a daily diligence in our walk with the Lord. Lord, help me to know what it means to be temperate in this life. Help me to know what it means to draw the right boundaries. That may not even be a matter of sin or not of sin. But because I want to have a careful separation and a carefulness in my life to not allow my heart to become so entangled with the thoughts and distractions and cares and love of the things of this life, that it hinders my spirituality and my walk with the Lord. Lord, teach me how to draw some boundaries and some lines in my life. To not abuse the privileges and the blessings that God gives us in this life. You know, there the things that God gives us that are temporal blessings are meant to be a blessing unto us. Lord, how do I use that as a good steward of Jesus Christ? How do I use the things of this world that you've entrusted to me? Not abusing it for my own selfish purposes, but rather to use it for the furtherance of the gospel. Lord, if you've entrusted something to me as a steward of Jesus Christ, how do I use that to be a blessing and a help in your kingdom? What could be a curse to me if I give myself to it and allow myself to become too entwined can also be a blessing in those regards. Divided allegiance. I want to think also about our time. You know how easy it is for our time to become consumed with other priorities. I believe in hard work. I believe in us. Tend to the state of your flocks. If you got a flock, don't be lazy about it. Go tend to the state of them. Whatever your hand finds to do, do it with your strength and your might. And by doing so, glorify God in what you do. You know, there is so much that is vying for a precious commodity that's called time. You know what makes a commodity precious? When there is a limited supply of it. I was just reading that diamonds are more common than wood. If you think about the entire universe, diamonds are much more prevalent in the universe than wood is. But in our world, diamonds are of limited supply, hard to come by, and it makes it a commodity or an item that is of high value because it is of limited supply. If you could find it and people graveled their driveways with it and along the sides of the road were diamonds, nobody would want a diamond. It wouldn't hold any value. Our time is of limited supply and every one of us have only 24 hours of it in a day. It's of limited supply and it is valuable. I don't think the Lord wants and intends for us to get into bondage about our time. To where we feel like if I do anything other than reading the Bible with my time in the day, I've surely failed the Lord. But I say again, Lord, help us to know how to walk in this life. Help us to know how to be good soldiers of Jesus. To not think of my time as my own. To just spend however I want to spend. Lord, how do I make the proper use of this? Our finances. You know, the Lord has a purpose for every one of us. And if we're not careful, we can hear the siren call of our world today telling us that you ought to be able to live at such and such a level. You deserve this certain caliber of living. You deserve it. If you ever noted it, that when you look at one generation to the next, it seems like this generation that might have, when they first started out married, might have only had this meager standard of living, and then over time, gradually, maybe they are able to provide and have something bigger and better, and then the next generation kind of expect that I start out with what mom and dad have right now. Our world, our country, sets expectations, spoken and unspoken, of what we ought to expect in life and the way we ought to be able to live and what success looks like. Lord, help us to not be so driven by that, that I extend and overextend myself to try to maintain a certain standard of living, a certain way of life that's got me on the hamster wheel nonstop. That running and running and running and running, and talk about it in management at work, that they'll give employees a certain bonus, maybe 10% bonus. That's your target if you meet certain. And instead of that being, you know what, we got a bonus. People expand their standard of living to feel everything that they're getting. And now if next year you don't get that 10% bonus, I'm in trouble. What am I going to do here? Lord, help us to know how to have financial wisdom in how we live our lives as well. Lord, this is all yours. It's not just what I'm talking about of finances, what we put into the offering box. But Lord, how do I order my steps wisely? Such that if you should call, child, I want you to do this. I want you to help with this over here. Well, Lord, I am stretched so thin that I can't. If the Lord wanted to raise somebody up and say, you know what, I want you to choose a path of labor and work for me, that you're going to have to trust me. Well, Lord, I would, but I have this obligation and that obligation and this over here. And Lord, maybe by the time I'm about 68, I'll be in a place that I can think about. You understand the danger of entanglement and the importance of seeking the mind and the will of the Lord in my life? Luke, the 21st chapter. Luke 21 and verse 34. Take heed to yourselves, lest at any time your hearts be overcharged with surfeiting and drunkenness and cares of this life. And so that day come upon you unawares, for as a snare shall it come on all them that dwell on the face of the whole earth. Watch ye therefore and pray always, that ye may be accounted worthy to escape all these things that shall come to pass, and to stand before the Son of Man. Take heed to yourselves. This drunkenness is by more than a bottle that you crack open. There's also a numbing effect to many of the entertainments of this world. There is an effect that it has upon our spirit of deadening, of loosening our carefulness, that really in a spiritual sense is like a drunkenness. I believe there is great caution to have on both fronts. Lord, help me to know how to go through this life and not be drunk on the cares and pleasures and entertainments and things of this world such that it hinders me from being a good soldier of Jesus Christ. It hinders me from being able to please Him who has called me to be a soldier. And as it lists here, and the cares of life. Is there anyone here that doesn't have them? Anybody here doesn't have cares of life? Responsibilities, burdens, obligations? I think we all do. So Lord, help me to know how to not let those cares overpower, overshadow, entangle me in such a way that the end of time, that the spiritual awareness that I should have of the signs and the times and what's happening and the dangers to my own soul because of the cares of life is lost to me. I want to get Matthew, the 13th chapter as well. Matthew chapter 13 and the 18th verse. Hear ye therefore the parable of the sower. When anyone heareth the word of the kingdom and understandeth it not, then cometh the wicked one and catcheth away that which was sown in his heart. This is he which hath received seed by the wayside. You know, the enemy wants to get us in such a place that my heart is hardened, not in a way that I feel a rebellion against God. I feel just don't want anything to do with God. But you know, the very cares and pleasures of life that can crowd into our mind can leave us in a place where whenever I'm reading the Word of God, I can't even focus on what I'm reading. My mind's here and there and the other. And when I'm sitting in service, I'm anywhere but in service. I mean, not in any way to be critical, because I'm like it too. And the Lord has to teach us how to bring into obedience our thoughts, our desires, to be able to train just like a soldier would. You're going to have to train for this. This is going to be hard. And you're going to have to endure some hardness as a good soldier. And a good soldier is going to have to go through his paces and go through his training and learn how, when your body is just screaming out for rest, to let down, to relax, to be able to say, no, I can't listen to that voice right now. I'm in the way of danger. I've got to stay vigilant. I've got to stay focused right now. To be able to know how to do that in a spiritual sense. That no, I have to say no to myself. I have to say no to what this flesh and its desires and propensities are calling for right now. I've got to say no, I can't afford that right now. I think about what Paul said of that which is lawful, but it's not expedient for me. And that's some of what distinguishes, I believe, a good soldier of Jesus Christ. To be able to distinguish between, well, there's nothing spiritually illegal about this. There's nothing sinful about that. But I've got a purpose that's singular. My heart is singular to say, Lord, I want to please Him that's called me to be a soldier. I want to be a good soldier of Jesus Christ. I want to win this battle. I want to have victory, and I want to go through life victorious. And at the end, be able to stand on the shores of victory and hear Him say, well done, thou good and faithful servant. So there are some things that I have to say, self, no. No, you're not going there. You're not doing that. Not right now. That's enough. To be able to know how to bring under my body and bring it into captivity. To say, you serve me, or rather, the purposes of God, rather than me serving the flesh and its desires and propensities and whims and impulses. The cares of this life. Well, let's keep reading here. He that received the seed into stony places, the same as he that heareth the word and anon with joy receiveth it. Well, that's good, isn't it? Receive the word with joy. But it says he hath no root in himself. Endures for a little while. You know, the Lord wants us to have more than a camp meeting to camp meeting experience. More than a revival to revival. Or thank the Lord for those things. Those are necessary and helpful and a blessing to us. But the Lord wants us to get some root. The Lord wants us to be able to root down and have something that can endure when the seasons change. When the sun rises. When tribulation or persecution ariseth because of the word, by and by he is offended. He also that receives seed among the thorns is he that heareth the word, and the care of this world and the deceitfulness of riches. We've touched on both of those, haven't we? Choke the word, and he become unfruitful. That, I believe, is a real possibility and a real danger to saints of God in 2026. Lord, help me to not allow the thorns. You know what thorns do? They grow prolifically. They just abound. Nobody has to go plant them and cultivate them and care for them and water them and fertilize them. You just leave it alone, and that's what's going to grow. In the fallow ground will grow all manner of thorns and brambles and all of that. So in our life, when I'm on autopilot, that's what's going to start growing. And what the thorns do is it takes up nutrients from the ground. And whenever it grows, it interweaves itself. When you have a good patch of thorns, you can't get through it. Not very easily. You got to do some serious hacking and land clearing to be able to get through it. But those grow one bramble stem at a time. But they'll take over. And so will the thorns of the cares of this life. They'll grow one at a time, innocently, and yet begin to take over if we allow it. So Lord, help us to keep our land clear, to keep the thorns out, to turn up the fallow ground, to cultivate it. I'll come back to the phones for a moment. You know, it can be so easy to feel what I call the pauses of life with something. And the notifications that pop up on my phone are an easy way to do that. When I talk about the pauses of life, there may be a moment where I have to wait for something. The store's not quite open yet. I'm waiting to meet somebody and I have a few moments. I'm at a stoplight. You know how easy it can be to fill up every one of those little vacancies? that I could turn to the Lord and say, Lord, thank you for this day. Lord, I just want to talk to you for a few moments. I want to challenge us. Give God your pauses. Lord, can talk about the big things and, yes, give God your life and give Him everything that you have. Yes. But what does it really mean if I can't give Him the little things too? Let's give God the pauses and give Him opportunity to talk to me through that still small voice. The Lord help us to be careful, to have a fervency of spirit. The Lord, I want to be a good soldier. And I don't want, as one song says, I don't want nothing here to hinder me. Whether it's my recreation, what I do to relax, my hobbies, my work, my career, whatever things could have the potential of entangling me, that I give that to the Lord. Let's close maybe in Romans, the 12th chapter. Our eyes are lifted in this passage to behold a cloud of witnesses that have gone before us, faithful to the end, strong in faith. And it says that, let's see, I'm wrong. That would be Hebrews. Wherefore, seeing also we are compassed about with so great a cloud of witnesses, let us lay aside every weight and the sin which does so easily beset us. And I might say, you know, I'm still running. I'm still running the race. I'm still pointed the right direction. I'm still aiming for having my home. As I have my hands full and my shoulders overlaid, and I'm carrying as much along as I can with me, there are times that the Lord calls us, you need to lay some things aside. There's some things that are weighing you down, some things that are slowing you down, some things that are hindering you from being able to run this race with singularity of purpose and putting your whole heart into it. Let us lay aside every weight and the sin which doth so easily beset us, and let us run with patience the race that is set before us, looking unto Jesus. Lord, help us to have a clear focus in our lives, keeping our eyes on Jesus and on our reward, on the purpose that He has called me to, and that He wants to work in my life, that I not frustrate the grace of God, the plans of God in my life, because of the little foxes, because of the little things that would crowd in and overtake and entangle and intertwine themselves into my life more and more and more, until I really am in bondage to those and the will of God is not able to be fulfilled. You pray for me. I want to be faithful and to know how to walk faithfully in this, our time.